Welcome back to Monsters Among Us. If you are new here, my name is Kate Moser, and each week we explore the question, are monsters real? Thank you to all my loyal listeners for tuning in each week. I started this podcast so that my students could have an example to work off of for their podcast I make them do in class. I never thought I would get listeners from all over the globe. I appreciate you coming back each week to listen to me ramble, recording on my iPhone, and doing mom duties in between takes. So, this week monster is unknown. This case is still unsolved, although some media reports that there may be an arrest made soon. It takes place in Aliquippa, PA, the hometown of Edward Surratt, the shotgun slayer. If you haven't listened to that episode yet, I suggest you go back so you can get some backstory on the town and the area. To give you an idea, Aliquippa, PA is a small community with New York problems. A small police force, a massive drug problem, and way more homicides than a small town should have are just some of the issues facing this community. At the time of Rachel's murder, there was at least 8 unsolved homicides alone. So grab a blanket, get comfy, because here we go. On New Year's Eve, 1984, a beautiful baby girl was born into a loving Italian family. Her parents, Lisa and Joe Del Tondo, decided to name her Rachel. Being an only child, Rachel was her parents' everything. She enjoyed a normal upbringing and decided that she wanted to be a teacher when she grew up. She did just that. Rachel served as a substitute elementary teacher for districts in the area before landing a job with a PA cyber school. Rachel loved her job and loved helping her students. She was known to her friends as outgoing, the life of the party, and pictures show an incredibly beautiful and full of life woman. On May 13th, 2018, at the age of 33, Rachel was shot in her driveway at least 10 times by an unknown assailant. Police have described it as a crime of passion, with little physical evidence at the scene and no witnesses that are talking. We will take a look at several potential persons of interest and discuss whether or not a secret ultimately led to Rachel's murder. However, they did spend casual time together. In February of 2016, Frank and his friends and some women attended the Super Bowl, and Rachel was very jealous. She was not in attendance and was not happy about it. Soon, Rachel became paranoid, and she told Frank that she was being harassed and followed. When he asked for more details, she wouldn't give them to him. However, she did confide in her friend Jen a secret that could and did ruin her life. One of Rachel's childhood friends was a man named Frank Catropa. Frank and Rachel started dating, and many friends described their relationship as rocky. They would be in love one day and broken up the next, but what relationship isn't like that in your 20s? Frank is known as the Wolf of Aliquippa due to his business venturing. He gained a substantial amount of money in his trucking and side businesses and is well known around town. He has many friends in the police department and seems to be very well liked. Rachel's parents, especially her mother Lisa, were not happy with the relationship. Lisa wanted them to be married. According to the 48 Hours episode about this case, Lisa had said something along the lines of, it was 5 years, they really should be married. Rachel wanted it too. She wanted a stable, loving marriage and brought it up to Frank on numerous occasions. While vacationing in Paris in 2015, Frank finally proposed to Rachel after 5 years with a 6-carat engagement ring. Everyone was ecstatic and wedding preparations were underway. It seemed like all parties involved wanted a lavish wedding, and Frank was very hands-on with the planning. Rachel and her mother picked out a $10,000 wedding dress and $3,000 red bottom shoes. Later, Lisa would go to news outlets and sue the dress company, but that's a different story for a different time. Venues had deposits and the date was picked, but wedding planning would come to a halt in October when Frank suggested a prenup. At first, Rachel agreed, but after talking with her mother, she changed her mind. Not willing to continue without a prenup, the wedding planning stopped. However, the couple still casually dated. Rachel's best friend Jen has stated that Rachel and Frank's relationship was basically the same as before without the commitment. Frank, however, has stated that he started to pull away from the relationship because her parents were just too involved. However, they did spend casual time together. In February of 2016, Frank and his friends and some women attended a Super Bowl, and Rachel was very jealous. She was not in attendance and was not happy about it. Rachel became paranoid. She told Frank that she was being harassed and followed. When he asked for more details, she wouldn't give them to him. However, she did confide in her friend Jen a secret that could and did ruin her life. In December of 2016, Frank had a massive party at a bar in Aliquippa like he did every year for his birthday. Everyone was in attendance, including Rachel and her friend Jen. Jen had not seen Rachel in several months, and when she saw her, she was scared. She said Rachel was acting weird and looked like she had been using drugs. When Jen confronted Rachel, a physical fight broke out and Rachel punched Jen in the face. That's when Jen decided to tell Frank the secret that she had been keeping. When he was away at the Super Bowl, Rachel was in a car at night with a 17-year-old named Sheldon Jeter. Rachel said that Sheldon was a former student who had messaged her on Facebook and needed to talk. So she drove and met him at an elementary school, and then they went to the Circle K and parked where they just talked. Around 11 or 12, a cop knocked on the window, asked what was going on, and left. Frank believed that Rachel was only trying to help the kid in need. Frank and Rachel continued their relationship, but not relationship. However, Frank grew suspicious of this incident with Jeter, so he went to his friend Joe Percival at the police department. When he had asked Joe about a police report for that night in question, it just so happened to be sitting on his desk. However, it was not written on the night of the incident. It had been written more than a year after. When the police chief at the time, Don Couch, was asked why it had been written such a long time after, he stated, "just in case someone came asking." In order to view an incident report, one must make a formal request. But Frank walked away that day with a copy, as well as a folder of personal information belonging to Rachel. In the report, it stated that the police sergeant Kenneth Watkins and officer Fran Kalkel found Rachel and Jeter sitting in a steamed-up car at 1:52 a.m. in a field with the passenger seat reclined. This is a far different story than Rachel had told Frank back in December. Coincidentally, this police report and information, only available to law enforcement, was leaked in an email and text messages to Rachel's employers, friends, and the local media only a couple days after Frank went to see the report. Rachel lost her job and her mind. She started taking antidepressants and even stayed in the psych ward for 3 days. In response to this leak report, Del Tondo started cooperating with the state police and the organized crime section of the internal attorney general's office in regards to corruption in the Aliquippa Police Department. She also stated that she was receiving death threats. It is at the same time that she starts to seriously date a man named Rashawn Bolton, who just so happens to be Sheldon Jeter's half-brother. So, who is this Sheldon Jeter? Jeter was the face of the Aliquippa football team during his high school career. If you know anything about the town, you know how pivotal and important football is. Some sources say that Jeter and Rachel were in a relationship. Some say that she was just trying to help a lost and lonely kid. Regardless, it seems that Jeter was really infatuated with Rachel. They spent lots of times together. lots of time together. It seems odd to me that a 33-year-old teacher would be hanging out in her free time with a 17-year-old, but what do I know? So Rachel had been dating Jeter's brother for at least 6 months while still hanging out with Jeter. On Mother's Day, May 13th, 2018, Rachel gets a text from another 17-year-old friend named Lauren Watkins. Lauren is the daughter of the police sergeant who caught Jeter and Rachel in the car together 2 years prior. Lauren and Rachel were friends and went to hang out all of the time. So Lauren picks up Rachel to hang out. While they're driving around, Lauren gets some Facebook messages from Sheldon asking where they were and what they were doing. They run into him and some friends driving around in cars. And they also run into Tyree Jeter, who is another half-brother of Sheldon, and they pick him up. Lauren, Rachel, and Tyree all head out to Hank's, which is a local and popular ice cream joint. On the way home, Lauren texts Rachel, "Go for a walk. I'll come pick you up later," even though they are in the car together, which seems a little weird. But later, Lauren said it was in hopes of ditching Tyree so that her and Rachel could just hang out together alone. So Lauren drops off Rachel at the end of her driveway at 10:45. She pulls away, and Rachel was shot to death before she reached the house. Whoever her killer was laying in wait for her return. Is that Lauren was the last person to speak to Rachel, and that Rachel was shot at very close range by someone she knew. A search warrant was issued for Sheldon Jeter's clothing. Police searched his house and car, and when asked for his clothing on the night of the murder, Jeter gave him the wrong clothes. He also showed no emotion when notified of her death. Rashawn was quickly eliminated from the suspect pool because he was out of town at the time. So that leaves Sheldon, Frank, or someone from the police force. Frank had also started dating someone new at the time of the murder. He has stated that he was home with his girlfriend. However, he has not been formally dropped as a person of interest. Shortly after her murder, Police Chief Couch was let go, but no reason was given. Joe Percival took over as chief, but was caught sending explicit text to Lauren Watkins, the daughter of the police sergeant, and last to see Rachel alive. So he was let go, and the third and current police chief was instated. All of that happened within a week. Sergeant Watkins was also placed on leave, and the case has since been handed over to Beaver County. 2 years after Rachel's murder, on May 15th, 2020, Sheldon Jeter shot and killed his friend Tyreek Pugh. Video surveillance put Sheldon near the crime scene, and police found a .38 pistol under his mattress that matched casings found at the crime scene. Jeter was found guilty of first-degree murder, and on July 21st, he will be sentenced. He faces life without parole. However, I'm curious to see if the defense will motion for a mistrial, since one of the jurors was the next-door neighbor of the Del Tondos and disclosed that her husband might be related to Jeter. If you know any information that can lead to the conviction of Rachel Del Tondo's killer, please contact your local authority. Thank you for tuning in this week. Come back next week for a paranormal tale. Stay safe, make good choices, and don't hang out with teenagers.